Different time we spoke about the different types of foods that require Bishul Yisrael, that do or don't require Bishul Yisrael. This time we're going to speak about a related topic, and that is foods that theoretically might need Bishul Yisrael, but because of the way that they're produced, that somehow the method that they're cooked, or the way they're made edible, is what makes it that they don't need Bishul Yisrael. So the first part, the simplest part, is what the Shulchan Aruch brings, and that is that is Bishul Akum does not apply if a food got became edible through salting or brining, pickling, or smoking. Like, for example, the way you make lox is you take pieces of salmon and you salt them, and since the way they became edible is through salting, so, it doesn't need yid to be participating in any way in making it edible. Or the same thing for Nova lox, which is a similar thing, that's used salting and smoking. Same thing, even though salmon is not nechachai, and it's let's even assume that salmon is oil shulchan lochem. Even so, it meets the condition, the usual conditions for needing bishul yisrael. But over here, since it's made with salt and smoke rather than with a fire, therefore it does not need bishul yisrael. Now, as an aside to that, which we'll see the application of it below in a couple of minutes, is that if you make a food edible through salting, one of these other methods, for any of these other kind of methods, then a guy cooks it afterwards, that food stays mutter, because he cooked the food that was already edible. So that would not make the food bishul akum. So we'll see in a minute how a practical, an extra application of that as well. Okay. Anyhow, so these three kinds of food, making food edible through salting or pickling or smoking, basically everybody, halacha maisa, everyone agrees that food does not need to be bishul yisrael. It's automatically excused. Okay, but if we probe into a little deeper, we'll find out. We think about exactly why that's mutter. Then we'll see some other applications where not everyone agrees on what the din should be. So when the Rama says this din that food made through salt, when the Rama comments on this din about salting and pickling and smoking. He says the reason for it is because the only things that could be usher as bishul akum are ones that are cooked with a fire. Okay, so if we stop for a second, wait a second. Okay, that makes sense for food that was cooked through salting and pickling because there's no fire. What about for smoked food? Smoked food has a fire. You can't get smoke without a fire. So why isn't that made bishul shel eish? So a simple way of understanding what he means to say is that, of course, the smoke is made by a fire, or not always, but typically the smoke is made by a fire, but the fire and the food are too separated from one another. They're too separate from each other, and therefore, that's not considered that it was cooked by the fire. So if we think about it like that, then we might say is that this all works good and fine when you did when you prepared a food through cold smoking, which is a common way you cook food, which is to say the smoke that hits the food is not hot. So the fire aspect, the heat aspect of the fire, not really present. It created smoke. The smoke is what's in the food. That's indirect. But what happens if we hot smoke it, which is to say we make the food edible through smoking, but that smoke is at a hot temperature also, well then the presence of the fire is felt, is present, and that's the heat is involved in what's making the food cook over here, so then it's harder, it's not as easy to say that food should be excused from bishul akum, and therefore some amachman will say no, if you hot smoke food that's not included in this din, that m'usham, the smoked food is mutter, is excused from bishul akum, because this is hot smoke as opposed to cold smoke. Now, the Mekilim understand things a little bit differently, and they say that, if you look at the Makar, that Me'ushan, that smoked food, does not need Bishul Yisrael, that's not that's not a Bavli, that's a Yerushalmi, it comes from, based on the Yerushalmi, that Me'ushan should be Mutter, and they said if you look at, there's a Prisha, Pishas in Hilchos Bas Mechalov, with it, that same Yerushalmi speaks about Bas Mechalov created through Ishun, and the way the Pishas understands it is the way it appears, like the way the creatures of the sea is, evil will be true even if it's hot smoking. So for example, if you made hot smoked salmon, then according to this, that says that there's no fish locking even by hot smoking, it will be mutter. There was heat and there was smoke, but the mekilim would say that there's no problem. Now, some of the people who are machmir, I just mentioned the two different ways of looking at hot smoking. Some of those who are machmir and want to say that hot smoked food does need bishul yisrael. So the way they create hot smoked salmon, how do they make that without a mashgiach? The easiest way to make a bishul yisrael is to have a mashgiach standing there. But of course, that's not the easiest for the company to require a mashgiach standing there to turn on the fires. So what they've done is that they have the companies adjust their process so that the brining stage that happens before the smoking, which is common, almost always, is a brining stage beforehand. They make that brining stage make sure the brining stage goes very long, to the point that the fish is completely edible after it comes out of the brining. The smoking is just an added step, I guess, adds flavor or adds, you know, some other properties that are desirable. But it's basically completely edible. So they're taking advantage of the fact that this was made edible through a non-bishul means, through the brining, and then the fact that afterwards they do hot smoking doesn't make a difference. Okay, so now let's go one step further. Some people say, I just told you that there are those who think that hot smoked food is considered mu'ushan and doesn't need bishul yisrael. Some take that even one step past that, and they say you could also be make if food is cooked with steam, and that the steam is also is just like hot smoke doesn't create bishul akum. So too, if you cook food with steam, it also doesn't create bishul akum. Now, that's the simplest explanation for the mekilim. It happens to be there are two other possible explanations that the Pesachim are not so excited about. One is that steam is a total sa'ar, so it doesn't count. And one is that cooking by steam wasn't something was around in the time, you know, when the Isser Bishlak was created. But most people don't hold to those. Most people would say, the way I just said it, those who want to be Mako will say is that just like, it's just a form of Ishan. Just like Ishan, if hot smoke counts as Ishan, so too steam looks like that also. Seriously, takes that position, as is the Starkate, my impression is. But even those who are makel about this, about steam, there are two conditions about it, and they are, it needs to be through direct steam injection, and has to be no water in the kettle. And let me explain what I mean by those two things. If you put food into a kettle, and the kettle has a jacket to it, so the steam running through around the outside of the kettle, but the steam has no, it doesn't directly touch the food, so then, that is considered that was cooked by a fire. The steam is just a way to bring the heat from the boiler, from the fire in the boiler, to over here. And we would not consider that to be cooking with steam. So then that food's going to need bishul yisrael. And the only time they will be makel to say that steam is cooking is if it's directly, which is like, for example, when you cook tuna in a canned tuna before it's put into the can, the fish are cooked whole in this big chamber, and they just basically shoot steam at the fish, the whole fish. So that's an example of where we say steam is considered ishun and it doesn't need bishul yisrael. But like if we put rice into a kettle, into a steam jacket in a kettle, that would not fall under this heter. The second condition is that you can only it's only considered to be ishun when the steam hits the food and there isn't water in the kettle. So for example, if we have a big kettle filled with water and we put direct steam into the water, then we say no, the potatoes are being cooked in hot water. The fact that water was heated through steam doesn't take away from it, and they would need bishul yisrael because they're being cooked in hot water. The only time to be minkel is if you in a tank, the way potatoes are cooked when you're going to make instant potatoes is you cook them in what's called a screw conveyor. It's this long tank that has a screw running through the center of it, and a very big screw, obviously, running through the center of it. The potatoes fall in on one side, and then the screw carries them through to the other end. And by the time they get to the other end, they've been in this tank for long enough that they are cooked and they pop out the other end ready done. Now, the cooking that goes on in the tank is by steam, just pumping steam into the tank. But the liquid, the water, the condensation that gets is created by that steam does not stay in the tank, and there's no water in the tank. That it all drains out the bottom. So what's going on is this: the potatoes are being cooked with the steam hitting them directly without any water in them. So we had both conditions. One is it has to be direct steam injection, which there is in this case. And second is it would have to be that there's no water, or else we consider it to be cooked in water rather than in steam. And so in this case of the screw conveyor, that would be application of this kula. Now, that was the Mekilim who say that there's steam is mutter in the Machmirim. Those who say that no, steam does not, cooking food in steam is not considered a form of Ishun. So the simplest explanation for that is because those who are Machmir about hot smoking are going to for sure Machmir about steam. Hot smoke, at least the smoke is some kind of like an intermediary between the steam, between the fire, and the cooking. Over here, it's just steam. Hot smoking will surely be machmir about steam. But there's also two other reasons that say even if you make a lot of hot smoking, you should be machmir about steam. One is, what Falk says, is that when you cook something with smoke, then there are two factors that are participating in making the food edible. On the one, there's heat, because it's hot smoke. But on the other hand, there's smoke. So there's two parts of what making the food cooked. That's okay. That's good enough to say that that's not bishlakum. But when you cook with steam, it's just heat. There's nothing other than heat. So that's the same as cooking with a fire, and that needs bishlisho. And Rav Altman says, differently. He says it's not really so important whether there was a fire per se, or there was steam or smoke. One of those things. What's important? What's important is what does the finished food come out as? If the finished food is a cooked food, then it needs bishlisho. If the finished food is a not cooked food, then it doesn't need Bishri Yisrael. So if you pickle something, that's not cooked. Even if you smoke it, it comes out as a smoked food, not as a cooked food. But when you cook something in steam, the end product is exactly the same cooked product, exact same cooked as if you had cooked it in water or in a plain fire. So that's considered, that is something that needs Bishri Yisrael. Okay, so those are three ways to be machmir about this thing. And Rebelsky and Rav Shechter took like a compromise position, and it comes from a true in Mechisitza. And they said like this: we're only going to be makel about food cooked with direct steam if there's an extra tzir, if there's some other reason to be makel, some other tzat l'hako between the two together, then we'll makel and say it doesn't need Bishri Yisrael. Okay, so in practice, the tzir that there is, that tends to be for these cases, is if you cooked food in a kind of piece of equipment that's nothing like you have in your house, I'll explain that cool in a second, then that's an extra tzir to be mako, and then they'll say if it was done through steam in an unusual piece of equipment, something that's like not what you have in your house, not just a bigger pot, but something very different from what you have in your house, then they're going to be mako. So the screw conveyor that I mentioned before that cooks the potatoes, nobody in their house has pots with screws running through the center to carry the potatoes from this side to that side. That's not a big kettle. That's a completely different piece of equipment. So then they say, and if it's cooked with that with and with steam, then if the two things together, they'll be makel, but not with one of them by themselves. Okay, so now, what was this cool that I said to you about being cooked in unusual equipment? It comes from Rav Nota Greenblatt, said over Rav Moshe that in truth, we know bishlakum is also because it could lead to chasnas, it could lead to intermarriage. So really, logically, there's no concern of chasnas when you're buying it from food made in the factory. Because just like my paspalter, if it's made by a baker who's selling to you commercially, he has no connection to you. You don't feel any good feelings that might lead to chasnas. And so too, by bishlakum from a factory, there's no concern of chasnas. No, but it is also. There's no cool of palter or from a factory for bishlakum, and that's because it's a white plug. Once Chazal asked cooking, the asked all food is cooked regardless of who cooks it. So Moshe said is that white plug only works for the case that's like what Chazal asked. So the asked cooking in all different kinds of forms are basically cooking in a pot. So if you get it from a factory that's made in a pot, it's also usher. If their pot is a little bigger than our pot, it doesn't make a difference. A pot cooked in a pot is cooked in a pot. He says, but if they have a piece of equipment that's nothing to do like what we have, like in with the case we've been talking about, they cooked in the screw conveyor, that has nothing to do, it's totally not like it, so it's not a lit plug, and therefore, since the logic of the issue doesn't apply, the food is not included in the xera. Okay, so that's some sheet is about cooking food with steam. Some say it's fine, it makes it not bishlakim. Some say it would be bishlakim, and then there's this compromise that say it'll only be mekel in cases when we also have an added seer. Now, next thing we need to consider is, and it's sort of a continuation of this question of steam, is what happens if someone who's not Jewish cooks food in the microwave? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say over our sheet that we've had until now, in break it into four types or four positions, and based on those, or four ways of looking at it, and based on those, we'll see whether the microwave should be cooking in a microwave should be mutter or aser. So, excuse me. One thing we said was it's only bishlakim if it's cooked with a fire. Anything that's not cooked directly in the fire does not have bishlakim. So that a position potentially held that if you cook with hot smoking or steam would be motoroso because there's no fire. It would for sure hold that cooking in a microwave doesn't need bishul yisrael because there's no fire. There's nothing. You're just shooting these microwaves at the food. There's no fire at all. So that approach would for sure think that it was motor. Another way of looking at it was, it doesn't mean that there's fire. It depends if there's heat. If there's heat, like hot smoking or steam, then it's also whether there's a fire or not. It's not so technically so important. What really we care is there the heat of the fire? Is there heat? So here it's a little not clear. What should you say about a microwave? On the one hand, the food gets hot. The cooking happens through heat. And it's not like pickling that the food gets edible through without any getting hot, or even like cold smoking where the food gets edible through smoke. Well, most of the food does get hot in the microwave, and that's a reason to think that it's like hot food, like cooked food or hot smoked food. On the other hand, it's true that the food gets hot, but there's no heating media that heats it up. It's not like that at all. It doesn't get heated up because there's something that makes it hot. It's not in a pot of water or in a on a fire. It's by microwaves, which are not hot at all. So it's not exactly so clear how this sheet would hold. Would they think that the microwave is mutter, or would be awesome? Okay, now, third was, I said that Rafalk says that hot smoke is okay because it's a mix of smoke and heat, but steam is all heat, and therefore it needs bishul yisrael. Okay, so it was a variation of the second one, but it was makel that hot steam, but here, for sure, it seems clear, microwaves don't cook with heat, so there's no need for bishul yisrael. According to the sheet, there won't be any need for bishul yisrael, because the microwave does not cook with any heat, and therefore it will be okay. And last was, or Rav Ozner had said was, that if you end up lamaisa with the food that's cooked, then you need bishul yisrael, regardless of whether there's heat or any other. He doesn't care how, so to speak, how it happened. As long as the food ends up being essentially the same as a cooked food, then it needs bishul yisrael. So then, cooking in a microwave, would need bishul yisrael, because and he says it himself. He says because the food that's end up comes out as cooked food, give or take, it's the same thing as you cooked in a pot or in an oven. If it needs bishul yisrael, okay. So we had different depending on how we understood until now, but the hot smoking and other and the steam will sort of carry over into what we think about microwaves. So in talking about microwaves, I'll just mention that of course should be of course, and that is that. The issue to use the bishlak on a microwave is only if you cook food that was raw. If you're just reheating, which is a lot of what you do in a microwave, if you're just reheating, then there's no problem with bishlak, no issue for the guy to reheat the food. And we always have to remember is that when we even if we say cooking in a microwave needs bishul yisrael, it's only for foods that need bishul yisrael as per the regular rules. So like if you put a piece of meat into a microwave and cook it like that, that wouldn't need bishul yisrael because meat cooked in a microwave is not erlo shulchan lachem. That's not a way to be presentable. You have to boil it in the fire. Okay, so the case that most common, that actually people use microwaves for cooking, and that the food coming out would be bishul yisrael, is potatoes. Okay, a microwave potato tastes basically the same as a baked potato, or enough as it that it would be erlo shulchan lachem. Okay, that's a common food that people make in microwaves. It happens to be they don't make that for weddings in a microwave because it's not efficient. You know, if you're going to ready, you know, the point of the microwave is that it cooks quickly. If you're going to cook 100 potatoes, it's going to take way longer, as opposed to you put the same 100 potatoes into the oven, and they cook basically in the same amount of time. It doesn't take longer to do 100 potatoes than one potato. Okay, so the focus of cooking in a microwave is, I guess, in home situations. There are cases at home, but even at home, especially in restaurants, the food that has the most question about needing to be soiled is potatoes, microwave potatoes. So in a restaurant, it's very difficult to have a mashgiach control a microwave. And that's because when you want to control the oven that should be bishrishol or the stovetop, you say every morning, light the fires, light the pilots, keep an eye and make sure the fire stays on all the time. Well, if you do that, then the food will always be bishrishol because the yid turns on the fire, and therefore, the mashgiach keeps an eye on it, and he knows that the food is always bishrishol. But what's going to do with the microwave? The microwave doesn't stay on all the time. You put the food in and out. You put the food in now, and an hour later, someone puts in more food. It makes it that much harder for the mashgiach to keep on top of the microwave to make sure that the food is always, that he's always the one who turns it on every time they bake something in it. So Rav Moshe Katz came up with this really great idea. I had to deal with it. Focusing on the fact that it's the potatoes that need bishri yisrael, that are the food cooked in a microwave that needs bishri yisrael. And what he would do is he'd say to the walking to the store, usually a pizza shop or a restaurant, and say to them, every morning, put in 3-4 potatoes into the oven and bake them for half an hour, 45 minutes. That is to say, they're not going to be fully edible, but they'll be edible enough that they'll be considered to be bishri yisrael. Of course, the oven was turned on by a yid. The food, the potatoes that get baked in that oven will be bishri yisrael because they're, let's say, half cooked, and that's good enough. Now it's considered bishri yisrael. Then hold them. And when the customer shows up 3 hours later who wants a potato, you'll microwave it for the remaining amount of cooking that it needs. So it'll be a fresh, hot potato. It'll get you, and you'll have the advantages of being able to cook in the microwave. It'll actually be faster even because it'll be already half cooked. And then, but it'll be bishri yisrael because it was cooked in the fire, in the oven, in the yitz fire. So that way the mashgiach doesn't have to always be chasing after and keeping an eye on the microwave every 1 second. Who knows who's going to put something in, because basically everything that goes into the microwave won't become bishri lakum in the microwave. It won't need bishri yisrael, or already have been bishri yisrael. Okay? Our last thing we need to talk about is a modern way of cooking, and that's called an induction stovetop. And that is an induction stovetop. It's a cooktop where it's a glass surface on top. Underneath it, there's something that we could call a coil, but it's not like a heating coil in a regular glass stovetop. This is a coil that never gets hot. And when the food cooks on it, the coil doesn't get hot. It somehow passes electricity into the pot, and the pot becomes hot, and that cooks the food. So it needs a special kind of a pot, a ferromagnetic pot. But the coil itself, even when the food is cooking, is not hot. I mean, maybe a little hot because there's a hot pot sitting on there, but it's not the coil itself is not hot. So the people, those who make all that steam and microwaves, should be make all about this also, about the induction cooktop. That the reason why they make it was because there's no fire. The pot is just sort of magically becoming hot and just cooking the food. Rav Ozner, not so clear. L'chari, he would be machmir because l'mais is the end is that the food that comes out is cooked like in a regular pot. You know, there's no difference to the food. It doesn't know. It doesn't make a difference to the food whether there was a regular fire or an induction cooktop. On the other hand, Rav Ozner does talk about that it has to be a standard way of cooking. And of course, induction stovetops are not yet standard. So it's not so clear. Seemingly, he probably would be machmir about that, although it's not so clear. Now, just like I said before him, about the microwaves, that it's difficult for the mashgiach to keep an eye on it. It's the same applies to an induction stovetop. If you believe that food cooked on an induction cooktop needs to be, it is in could be potentially bishlakum. That means a yid has to be the one to turn the fire on. Well, if you turn the induction stovetop on, nothing happens. It doesn't get hot. Nothing happens until you put a pot on top of it. So that's going to mean is that the mashgiach will have to, every single pot that gets put down onto that surface, or in a home setting, every pot that someone who's not Jewish in the house puts onto the thing, the yid has to put it down. Again, a very difficult job for the mashgiach to be always keeping an eye that no one should ever put anything onto the stovetop. Again, it's not like the usual in a restaurant that he just turns on the fire or turns on the pilot and makes sure it stays on. Here, he's got to watch anytime someone put a pot down, he would have to be the one to put it on. Plus here, we don't have this eight that we had before, and about, you know, we figured out that it's just potatoes, and Moshe Katz came up with this idea, I'll pre-cook the potatoes partially. That doesn't work over here, because everything you cook on the stovetop is potentially going to be bishlakim, not just the potatoes. So, one way to deal with this is that there are discs that can be put on top of induction stovetop. These are discs that they are ferromagnetic, and the reason why they're made out in the world is because if someone has a pot that is not ferromagnetic, it's not the right made out of the right materials, it won't work on the induction stovetop. So they buy these discs that, and you put the disc down, the disc gets hot because it's on top of the coil, and then it heats up the pot. So you can put those down. The mashgiach can in the morning turn on the cooktop on, put down the disc on top of it, and then and as long as the disc doesn't move, it will stay hot, and that will be Bishul Yisrael. So he'll gain Bishul Yisrael, he'll lose, because you won't have this advantage that an induction stovetop has, which is as soon as you take the pot off, it doesn't get hot, it doesn't stay hot, and it doesn't use electricity, but at least that would make it that the food would be Bishul Yisrael. Okay, so just to summarize the CRC's policies on the different things we spoke about today, and that is if you cook food with if you cook food by salting it or by pickling it or by cold smoking it, then of course it does not induce as well. If you cook food with direct steam, it does not, the CRC policy is that it does not need Bishul Yisrael. So what I'm saying now is all from our race. They do not need Bishul Yisrael. If it's cooked with indirect steam, like in a jacket or kettle, then it does need Bishul Yisrael. If you smoke food, whether you did cold smoke or hot smoke, it also doesn't need, it's not Bishul Akam, and it doesn't have to be part of the cooking. Food that's cooked in a microwave need Bishul Yisrael, of course, assuming that all the rest of the oil al Shulchan Aruch rules apply. If a Yid had not participated, then it would be worth asking a shayla, because there might be reason to be makel if the yid was not part of the cooking. And as far as the induction stovetop, Ravi said it was something he needed to think about a little bit more before you give a final ruling on whether it does or does not need Bishul Yisrael.